Gotcha, girl. Gotcha. What connections, if any, or references have you made to what we studied in this last week? Anyone?
I haven't had time to even think about it. I was working until 6.
But I'm saying they come up, or your thoughts, okay, because guess what? Like I was telling Anna, yesterday was my Slava, my Krishna Slava. And in the icon of Sveti Jura, getting the...
That's their family patron saint.
Stabbing the dragon.
Yeah.
I found a whole new... The dragon in Revelation was the devil.
Oh. Do you think that was the same dragon? I mean...
Well, it could be a symbol. It could be the symbol. You know, yeah. Because in stories that you read about him, mm-hmm. that dragon could represent Rome.
Okay.
That dragon can represent, yeah, I just found out, the devil in Revelation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it can be a literal, like the Komodo dragon that was ravaging the city, and he helped them. But he was the one that converted half the Roman troops to Christianity.
Did they have Komodo dragons?
He made everybody mad.
Ecuador. Oh. In whatever the place is called.
I got another one for you.
Okay, who you else, got a connection.
Who else is in that icon?
George.
Right, a horse.
St. George.
And who else?
What did you say?
No,
what
did you say?
Who else is in the icon of St. George?
Oh,
so you got to think about it. Look in the background. Look in your mind.
Oh.
In the background is a house.
The house.
Who's standing the door of the house?
I don't know who.
A woman.
I don't know. Who is she?
We don't know. But a woman is often representative of the community. Right? When we talk about the church, we say she. Mm-hmm. Okay? So a woman is always a representative of the community or of the family. Okay? Remember back in chapter, I think it was chapter 12 or 13. All right? There was a woman.
This.
What happened with the woman?
She gave birth and then she went away.
Oh, I missed. That's the one I missed. So what happened?
So some people interpret her as the Theotokos, who gave birth to the male child and who was swept away before they could kill her and the child. Some people see her as a symbol of the church.
Wow! So that whole St. George thing is really pulling a lot of symbolism
from
Revelation. Yes. Which woman is... Because
there...
you're going to get mad at me, but guess what I'm going to do? See you
what
for a second.
Do?
See you, Father. I'm gonna go look
Where
at.
Keep going.
I'm gonna go look.
She's looking for the dragon.
I think it was maybe it was chapter 12, 13.
It's 12.
Is it 12?
It says in verse 12, 13.
There it is.
Now when the dragon saw that, isn't that what you're referring?
That's
to?
The one.
What chapter was that?
12.
12, verse 1. Look at verse 1.
Verse 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't trust myself with my Bible and food together in the same proximity because I'm very klutzy.
I want my $2 Bible.
Maybe I'll pull out the Greek.
Pull it out.
I don't see how you all remember all of this stuff. I mean, it's just like too much for my brain. I remember it while we were studying it, but then...
Well, one thing good about the book of Revelation is, even if you forget that particular part, we're seeing the same thing happen over and over again. Uh-huh. It's the pattern that's important. Mm-hmm. Like in any book. Right. You think about any book, there's always a pattern that repeats. Yeah. That's the important.
So it's 11 what?
Chapter 12, verse 1.
Okay.
Bless you.
Thank you. Well, we can wait for Denise. She went off to find St. George.
I'm here. Only half of it, George.
All right. We're going to jump back to chapter 15, where we left off. Mm-hmm. All right. Now remember where we ended up in chapter 14 was that horrible scene of the wine press of the wrath of God. Remember that?
Yeah, blood flowing.
Angel putting out a sickle and swinging to bring up the grapes, and the grapes were put into the wine press of the wrath of God. Can I turn off the sound on that?
Did you see anything interesting? But that is, she is really small. You almost don't look for her unless you, like you know told me. Wow. The woman, the child. The woman, the child, the dragon. That's what that chapter's.
What chapter?
Why are you doing it? Does that mean shut up? Huh?
On the nose.
He's got.
Oh, on the nose.
That's right. Are you looking at 12:1?
Yeah.
Okay, let me find it in Greek. It'll be the same. I lost the name. Ioan or Jones, yeah. No, that's different. That's Revelation.
That is very interesting. I'll never look at that icon the same again. Wow, Father, deep.
Were they influenced a great deal by the Greeks?
Where's the woman at in the icon?
It's like, it's off to the side.
Yeah, there's really three streams of influence. They are living in the Roman Empire. So you have Rome. Mm-hmm. The land they're in is really Asia Minor, at least where John is writing to these churches, is, we might call it today, Greeks. They didn't have that nation idea at that point, but they were Greeks. Uh-huh. Ethnically, they were Greeks. And the Christian faith is coming out of Judaism. Uh-huh. So what you're seeing in this is a lot of blending of different traditions.
Oh, wow.
And even the application from one tradition to another. So that's how Babylon, which was the enemy of the Jews, which took captive the Jews, now that image gets put on Rome, who's also capturing the people of God. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing is the same patterns from the Old Testament now given new meanings in the New Testament.
Okay.
And we're going to see that coming up, if we move tonight, we're going to see that very strongly in chapter 16.
Okay, Father, you know what scares me?
I'm just saying.
Just like this whole Islamic thing, you know, it's like 2,000 years of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys aware of this, that the issue that's going on in Texas right now,
mm-hmm.
about the cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this guy that's kind of one of the speakers is from Germany, and he's speaking, and he's kind of saying, you know what? Keep freedom of speech, because what's happening over in Germany, I think some towns are going total Islam,
right.
And they're doing the chanting from the pipes, and mm-hmm. people are stopping what they're doing, and
from the minarets, which are uh-huh.
yeah.
need to be taken
so,
down.
So what's the message of Revelation
that
in times of persecution?
Right.
What's the message?
You go straight to heaven.
If
you are faithful.
If martyrdom comes to you and you take it. Mm-hmm. So that's why fear.
Did they do that?
That's our human reaction.
Did they do that?
Right.
What St. John is trying to get us to do is convert that fear into joy, excitement. Oh, I get to be the martyr? Good, let me go. Now you don't seek it because that's suicide.
Right.
But if it comes to you, great. And wait to see what happens now for those that aren't.
Well, I sure hope. I mean, I just like sure hope it doesn't. I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's our earthly side talking.
I know, but still, I hope that the whole Christian. Okay, I gotcha.
What happened after the time that John wrote this letter with Christianity?
They were really getting slaughtered.
Right, and what happened from that?
Then there was the big turnaround.
Why?
Because these people kind of gave up their, they were saying, wow, these people are really faithful.
It was their martyrdoms
I got you.
So if it wasn't for St. George dying, it wasn't St. George living that converted them. It was St. George dying. Okay. So let's keep moving, and let's go into chapter 15. Now remember, we talked about judgment coming. Remember we saw back in 14. It was early in the chapter. Let me find it.
What was it, Bob?
I have a question. You probably have an answer.
Hang on just a second with the question. Let's see.
Okay.
Look at Eric's new cross. Dang. Nice.
From my sponsor.
Who is it?
Sam. Sam Miller.
Have you heard from him since either?
Yeah, I've got a couple of emails from him.
Oh, good.
Here we go. Verse 7, chapter 14. Okay. This is an angel flying amid heaven with the eternal gospel. And he said a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of the waters." Okay? So what we're going to see in these next several chapters is the same story from different points of view. And what's the story? Judgment. Okay?
What chapter are we starting on?
We're going to go to 15. That was last week.
All right.
Before we do, Christine, you had a question?
Never occurred to me before, because I've read this book many times. But it says, the very beginning of 14, it talks about the him with 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Mm-hmm. But the father's is no one knows the father's name, right? Except right. I am. So then how? Then so.
What's that name?
Yahweh.
Or
all we know is that identifies them with the one on the throne, the Father.
Right.
So then it's being revealed at this time, or is it only something that those people
would all we know is that those people are known by being the slaves of that God.
Okay.
So they're marked by him. And how do they get marked? They get marked because they serve him. And how did they serve him? They were martyred for him. They didn't serve the beast. They didn't serve Rome. They served God. Okay. Would somebody read verses 1 through 8?
I will.
Thank you.
And we'll do our little round robin, okay, Anna?
I'll get it. Okay. Thanks, Laura.
Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, having their chests girded with golden hands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
Okay, a lot of imagery in
the
here.
The Greek translation doesn't plagues. It gives the word wounds, like a wound.
Okay.
That's what it's called. Right. It's everywhere.
Because that's what was happening. All these plagues we're going to see happen, they're all different kind of wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? That's a translation.
That was kind of like a little opposite there at the end. Like a little oxymoron there.
In what way?
Okay. Then one of the four living creatures, mm-hmm. it's the four things, there's the throne, there's mm-hmm. the four living creatures, mm-hmm. and they could either be the four gospels we said, what else? Four
other gods that are shown as being in service to the god.
Okay. Living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bulls full of the wrath of God, mm-hmm. that he's going to get mad. They do something wrong?
Not them. What? You're going to see what he does with the bulls. We haven't heard what happens to the bulls yet. You got to wait and see.
Okay. All right. Well.
But what do we know? So we had this sign in heaven with seven angels. And these seven angels had seven plagues, which are the last. For with them, the wrath of God is ended. So this is the bad news, good news. We're going to see a lot of bad news / good news. What's the bad news? This is God's wrath being poured out in plagues.
Oh.
What's the good news?
It's the last.
It's the last. This is the end. This is the end of the wrath. It's the end of plagues. It's the end of destruction. This is the... So, this is...
Where's the word last?
Yeah.
For with them the wrath of God is ended. What is your first one end saying?
In the beginning it says that seven last plagues. Plagues.
What does your verse 1 say? What does your translation say, Denise? 15 verse 1.
It's completed. It's complete. The wrath of God is complete.
Having the seven last plagues for him, the wrath of God is complete.
Okay. So it's going to be over.
Yeah.
But then the four people come. The four creatures give some more. That's what I interpreted it.
So here are the seven angels.
Yeah.
They're in the sign that we're seeing now has these seven angels. They've got seven plagues, which are the last. Where are they? There's a sea of glass mingled with fire. We'll talk about that in a second. And those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. So they're the victors. All right. Where are the ones who have already borne witness, who are already victorious? They're there with the harps of God in their hands. Okay?
Yeah.
Good news or bad news?
That's nice.
That's good, right? What are they singing?
The song of Moses. Yeah.
What's the song of Moses? If we were all really good Orthodox, we would all know this by heart, the song of Moses. So
that's holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal.
No, I want you to go back about 2 years when we took a break from Bible study and we studied the 9 biblical odes.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to make a connection? What were the 9 biblical odes?
Oh.
Well, the Song of Moses is the song that he sang with the staff, mm-hmm. right, as he was holding back the waters and they were crossing.
So what was all that going on? What was going on when Moses was singing that song?
The Exodus.
They were crossing in front of the chariots.
Of?
Fire.
Of who?
Egypt.
Of Egypt. What had Egypt been doing?
Being
like
paganish.
They were
chasing them. I mean,
why were they chasing them?
Because they wanted to kill them. I mean,
they were slaves and they left.
Right. So they were the slaves. They were in the land of Egypt. Right?
Didn't they get permission to go? And then
they did.
The Egyptians changed their mind.
Right, and why did they get permission to go?
And that's what I'm trying to
all these connections.
Because Moses flipped them over.
How?
Changing the staff to snakes and I don't know.
Well, the plagues they had.
The plagues.
Oh, the plagues. Well,
especially the firstborn of Pharaoh.
So the plagues were all about destruction and the water turning to blood and the hail and the fire.
And they said, get these people out of here.
He finally said, go. Mm-hmm. Go. Take them. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The Egyptians. Yeah.
All right. So we're singing now a comparison. Who's singing the song now?
The people who are martyred?
Right. The ones who had conquered the beast. Look at that.
Okay, remind me one more time about the odes.
There were 9 hymns in the Bible. The 9th one is the Song of Mary, My Soul Magnifies the Lord.
Okay.
There are nine of them that start in Book of Genesis and keep going. I'm not going to go through all of them now.
Okay.
One of them, I think it's the third one, is a song of Moses. When he sang, after the people were delivered through the Red Sea, delivered from Pharaoh, and all the chariots got drowned. And so. Okay.
And when we sing a canon.
I don't think I studied that. Mm-hmm.
Then that has the nine.
None of this comes to
hand. Exactly. So the canon are the hymns written about these hymns, the biblical hymns.
Relating to the feast.
That's it.
Now what?
So, say it again. You're right. He's right on.
The, like when the chanters start going through a canon, which is not, it's nine hymns that are based on the nine hymns in the Bible, but they've been written in relation to that particular feast.
So in other words,
feast.
Yeah. Let's say the third, let's say, I think it is the third, the Song of Moses, I think is the third of it. What we'll do at every feast is we'll sing a song based on the Song of Moses, but applying that theme to whatever feast we're celebrating.
Yeah, that's where I kind of...
Okay, so if it's Christmas, we're talking about the birth of Christ. If it's Pascha, his resurrection. If it's the elevation of the cross being elevated.
But it's always Moses' ode? I mean, is...
The third ode is that original hymn, which we no longer sing.
Oh.
All right, but what we do sing is the song that applies that hymn to the feast we're celebrating. Okay, so in this case, it's the Song of Moses.
Okay, we're just going to have that study again. Go ahead.
All right, and they sing the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb. So whose song is it?
Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus. There's two people. Look at verse 3 again.
Moses, the servant of God.
And they sing the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb. So whose song is it?
The Trinity.
Don't think too deep.
What? The martyr song?
Whose song is it?
Jesus. No, I don't.
It's the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb.
The Lamb is God. Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's... Just look at the text. The answer is always right here.
I don't know what your question. Deep. I don't know what your question.
Whose song is it?
Moses.
This is Solomon's. I mean, David wrote this, didn't he? This great and marvelous are your works, and is that what you're referring to?
Right, but look at verse 3. It tells you. Oh. I'm asking you whose song it is.
Song of Moses, the servant of the Lamb, and the Song of the Lamb.
So whose song is it?
Unless you're making me
the Look at it again.
They sing the song.
The song of the Lamb, and the Lamb is Jesus Christ,
the servant of God.
Read it again.
Moses is the servant of God.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Whose song is it?
God's.
Don't think too deep.
The Song of Moses and the Lamb.
Thank you.
I thought I said
Moses
that.
And the Lamb.
I
you
thought
said Moses.
I said it.
You said the Lamb.
Oh,
and you said
you're
the, it's Moses
now.
And the Lamb.
I thought I used
Moses
that.
And the Lamb.
Okay. Moses and the Lamb. Okay.
Why is it important that it's Moses and the Lamb?
Oh, the New Testament.
Thank you.
Well, why?
So we're seeing a fulfillment of what happened in the Old Testament. And it's happening now.
Are we taping this still?
Yes.
Oh, you so do you ever go listen? No. Do you ever listen to these after we're done?
I listen just to when I'm
gosh,
uploading them.
Recording?
Who listens to this?
I don't know. Whoever you are, we're having fun without you.
Go
all
on.
Right. So whose song is it?
The Moses and the Lamb.
Thank you.
Eric.
Okay. Now, if it's a song of both of them, what's it a song of?
Of the old covenant.
Conciliation.
Don't guess. Think. Moses, what did Moses do?
He led them out of Egypt.
Right. Oh, Moses delivered the people from Egypt to the promised land. Jesus delivers us from?
From the world up to heaven.
Okay. And in this case, of these particular, those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, where is he delivering them from? What happened to them? What happened to those who had conquered the beast and its image?
They went to heaven. I mean,
how?
By the mark.
They died.
They died.
They died.
Uh-huh.
So Jesus is delivering them from their death
to life.
To life. And they're standing on this by the edge of the sea of glass of fire. In other words, if you want to think what's happening with the martyrs, think what happened to the people of Israel, who walked through the middle of that ocean on dry ground, and all the ones that were falling, all the power of Egypt was drowned in the sea. By whose power?
God's
power. And the same thing is happening with them. And so they sing the same song. Okay? Great and wonderful are thy deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord, for thou art holy. All nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments have been revealed. What does that mean in that context? All nations shall come and worship thee. Who are the nations at that point?
The Christians.
Well,
what nation? What nation are they living in?
Rome.
Rome. So Rome, this powerful body with all the armies and the ships and the law and all this power, shall come and worship who? The Lamb. Why? For thy judgments have been revealed. And we're going to see that in the next chapter as we go through.
Okay, who wrote these words? Who wrote those words? John? This song.
Well, John wrote the whole book, but chapter 15 is saying this is the song of Moses and the Lamb.
So she's asking, is this a re... Is there something in Psalms that's just like this?
It seems so familiar to me.
Let's see.
It seems very familiar to me.
I don't have a reference.
Exodus 15:1-8.
What is it?
It says the song of Moses and the Lamb is prefigured in the hymns of EX.
Here it is on page. It's in Exodus. It's chapter 15.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, there may be psalms that are similar.
Deuteronomy 32.
There were a lot of psalms that used that same imagery of the Exodus. So that's part of your
guess thinking. Why it looked familiar. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the same.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
turn it on.
So what's the image that we're now being called to remember? What event is...
The splitting of the ocean.
Right. So Moses delivering the people out of... Okay, now this continues. The imagery continues. And after this I look, and the temple of the tent of witness in heaven was open. What's the temple of the tent of witness? Think back to your Old Testament, your Sunday school Old Testament lessons.
Oh, is that when the tabernacle?
The tabernacle. Very good. What was the tabernacle?
It was the temple. Before the temple, it was made of tents.
Mm-hmm.
It was like very explicit.
The law.
Right. And what happened in the tabernacle?
When they cut they did the animals for
the blood. Right. All right. And what happened there? What was the temple called? It actually calls it here the Tent of Witness.
Tabernacle of Witness.
That was the... That was the meeting place where Moses would meet God. He would go into the tent and he would meet with God.
Was that only one thing? And that was it?
With the ark?
Well, they had
the temple was just, that was just one thing.
This is before the temple.
Right.
Right.
So there was only one tabernacle.
Right. And where did it go? Where was it?
It moved.
It moved.
It was movable.
Why? Why did it move with the people?
Because they were wandering in the wilderness.
Why did it move? Because they used it as they traveled.
Right. Going from slavery, being taken through death, through the Red Sea, which is always an image of our baptism, through the waters, to the Promised Land, and that, what happened to the tent? It was a symbol that God was with them. And it said that the glory of the Lord would come down and fill the tent, and, light would be seen and smoke coming out of the tent.
Something happened to it. How did it get destroyed? There was some reason that they don't...
Once they build the temple, then that replaces the tabernacle.
Okay.
But the temple was designed after the tabernacle.
But the original, I think it's in the Bible what happened to it, and it's never been seen again.
The ark. So you think of the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Which was in the tabernacle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So why do we call the place where we keep the consecrated blood the tabernacle. Why do we call it that?
It means the place that holds the sacred.
Like, that's the little thing. Did you guys know that? The altar? Uh-huh, yeah, with the little...
I didn't know that until we
talked about it. Yeah. Now, listen what happens in this temple of the Tent of Witness in verse 6. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues, robed in pure white bright linen, and their breasts girded with golden girdles. So where are these bowls coming from?
Temple.
From within the temple, within the tent. Okay? And the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls. What do you think when you think of golden bowl? What's a golden bowl?
I think of the communion cup.
Right. This is not just ugliness. This is something good. This is something sacred. It may be
pure,
fearsome, pure, valuable. Okay? Listen to this. The seven angels take from one of the four living creatures, concerning whom we have said much, the wrath of God in seven golden bowls. And aptly did he say golden, for the wrath of God is worthy, bearing within itself that which is good and beneficial, rather than just, even though those who are tormented might experience distress. In other words, we're going to see a lot of suffering. We're going to see a bunch of plagues coming. Mm-hmm. But number one, it's coming out from where?
The temple.
Out of the temple or the tent of witness, okay? And it's coming, and it's going to be good and beneficial, even if it's difficult.
And then again, when you were saying that our worship on earth is based on worship in heaven, mm-hmm. then here we have the same thing in heaven and on earth.
Exactly. Okay. Did we finish 15?
Well, it says 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. From his power, no one was able to enter the temple till the 7.
Okay, in other words, there's something important happening. Everybody else is stopping while this is happening. No one goes in the temple. The 7 bowls are about to be poured out.
How come? Okay, you're probably going to read it next. So what about this imagery of the smoke?
Where have you seen or heard of smoke in
the temple? The sensor.
And what it tells you what it is. It's one of the explanations of why we use the sensor.
Glory of God.
Yeah. The temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power.
Oh.
So that's a symbol of that.
Wow, we do use a lot of revelation stuff.
We do. Any questions on that?
So we finishing earlier.
No, we're keeping going. We're going. We just get warmed up. Nice try.
All right.
Now we're going to hear about the bowls.
Okay. Annie.
Go ahead. We're going to read them, but we're going to have you read a couple of these, Anna, but a couple of defenses. Read verses 1 and 2.
1 and 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died.
Okay.
Well, I went too
What's
far.
This sounding like? You're fine.
Back to Moses.
Yeah.
This is what St. Irenaeus says. He's one of the earliest Christian writers.
Pretty bad.
The whole exodus of the people out of Egypt, which took place under divine guidance, was a type and image of the exodus of the church that should take place from among the Gentiles. For this reason, he leads the church out at last from this world into his own inheritance, which Moses, the servant of God, did not give, but which Jesus, the Son of God, shall give for an inheritance. Remember, Moses didn't enter the promised land. And if anyone should pay close attention to these things that are stated by the prophets concerning the time of the end, and to those that John, the disciple of the Lord, saw in the apocalypse, He will find that the nations are to receive the same plagues universally as Egypt once did particularly. So it's the same thing we've heard over and over again. Rome looks powerful, they're going to be the victim. The Christians look weak, they're going to be the victors. It's all flipped.
And is it almost like they're, it's not like when this is visited upon the whole world, God hasn't shown before in a smaller way, given like a warning with Egypt, what happened in Egypt?
Sure.
And then it says it's going to happen again, only to everybody. So we know what's going to happen, but so you have time to prepare mm-hmm. and not experience it.
Right. Yep. Any questions? Or can we keep going?
The blood of a dead man is black, right? Blood turns black.
Filthy, dirty, just stinky. And if you're a Jew,
oh yeah, oh it's terrible.
What?
Yeah. You don't touch the blood.
They don't touch.
The blood is where the life is, and so when you kill an animal, you drain the blood. You don't want to eat what was the life. That's sacred. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going then. Verses 4-7. Go ahead, Anna.
Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments."
Okay, so why is this plague of blood true and just?
For it is their just due.
Why? Look at verse 6.
Well, they were evil, and so they got their...
Ooh.
Look at verse 6.
Yeah.
Question, the answers are always in the text.
They have shed the blood of saints and prophets.
Okay, so this is the Christian version of karma. All right, they shed the blood,
so they get,
and this blood comes back now as their plague.
Yuck.
To drink.
Ooh.
It is their due.
But isn't this the epitome of irony again? Because we drink Jesus' blood. Mm-hmm. And we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
And then and we didn't talk about the first one, but the sore, the foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast. So they're getting, their skin is marked, and so now
right.
their skin has
yep.
a sore.
Their judgment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all these things that made them look powerful are now going to be their Achilles' heel, their weakness. They're going to get judgment based on their allegiance to the beast. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
All right. Verses.
We got to finish all 7 at least.
8 and 9.
Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men who were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of their pains. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains, and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds.
Do you remember what they used to say about the British Empire?
The sun never sets on the British Empire. It does now.
What did you say?
The
yeah.
sun never sets on the British Empire. Because okay. It was India, and it was all over the place, so it was always the sun.
But all empires have always the if you think about it, an empire can't really be done until they've conquered everything. You don't say, oh, I'm only going to have this, but this is my empire. And you can have your... No. They conquer, and they conquer, and they keep going to conquer. This is the idea of they get the whole world. Well, here's the fourth angel pulling the bowl over the sun. And it scorches men with fire, with fierce heat. And then the fifth bowl, he pours it on where?
The throne of
the beast.
Which is his seat of power, essentially.
And what does it do? Literally.
Darkness.
Yeah. And anguish.
Is this more than just physical darkness? Is this like that darkness that you talked about in a different class, where you're talking about like the darkness that is, what was that?
So I was going to make this point at the end, but I'll make it now. It's a good time. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
You're a woman.
You don't have to be living in the first century Roman Empire to have this apply to you. You don't even have to be in the Middle East in the 21st century. All right? Because who's the dragon?
The devil.
Right. Okay. So in whatever form the devil is trying to do his work, or the beast that he works through, whoever that might be, he has the power of, he invites us to accept the mark on the hand and the forehead, which is the mark of servitude, which always looks like protection, right? If you're in with Rome, you've got protection, you've got power, you're safe, you can buy and sell, you're not going to be hungry. So the power of evil always looks to be beneficial. And what this is showing us is that, but all these things are going to get destroyed. They're going to be, the result of them all, in the end, remember this is the end, is destruction. There's no victory for these falling powers.
Yeah. Why do you think with the fourth and fifth bowl that it was clear that, and they did not repent and give him glory, and they did not repent of their deeds? The repentant is very evident there, but I don't know if it's repentant.
Because who repents?
The good people.
Yeah, people who fall. Say it again.
So even though these sound like horrible punishments, it's more like they're being given for their opportunity to be saved, and perhaps
they could have, but the result is they're just cursing the God of heaven.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Okay. Now, what have we said about the sixth?
It's right before the seventh.
Right before the seventh. Right. So it looks like the end, but it isn't. We said that in terms of the four and the three, it operates as a number two, because you got four, which is 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you have 5, 6, and 7, and 6 is that middle, that very difficult middle of the road. We're halfway there, but we still have halfway to go. And I don't know if we said this point in a while, but the 6 is often now. Okay? What do people keep asking about when the end is going to come? Why do they keep asking that?
Because they want to know what's going to happen now.
Right, because the idea is it's almost here.
Almost is 6.
Okay, so almost the end is 6. Mm-hmm. So we're always in number 6.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Number 6 it looked like almost in 400.
Right.
It looked like almost in 1054.
Exactly.
It looked like almost in 1942.
Exactly.
With the Holocaust and all that.
Exactly. Okay, so with that in mind, and if you look at, just look at how
long. Read good.
Just look how the length is. Look at, bless you, who was the first bowl?
Third bowl?
What was the first? The first was verse
16-2.
The rivers.
Okay, so look how long the first bowl is. Look how, just in terms of the text.
Oh, yeah.
Look how much text is in there for the second. Yeah. The third has a little more because there's that song. Okay. Fourth and fifth. Now look how big the sixth one is. Okay. Why do you think there's more information about it?
Because it's almost.
Yeah. And it's going on now. So you can look around and see what's going on.
Is it always going on now? Is this like always the now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back then they, you know, said that the time was coming.
Right.
Christ was going to come back and they were,
right.
You know.
Just like now, just like you're saying, 20 years ago and
still
100 years ago. We're almost, we always think it's coming soon, which in a sense is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, in God's time it is, but in our time it's probably.
Well, even if you think about it, even in our time, because we're not going to last thousands of years. So for us, we're always in six because our seven is coming within, you know, a couple decades at the most. Okay, so somebody read the sixth bowl, which is verses 12 through 16.
The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Mm-hmm. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assemble them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon.
Ooh, here it comes. Armageddon.
Oh God, don't be spooky.
Now, how do you use that word? How do we use that word normally? How have we heard it being used? You think of Armageddon.
Armageddon is the end of time.
People are living in the end of time, but they're living in all this bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. And how did wars used to be fought?
This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like gentlemen's wars. And then they got to guerrilla warfare.
So, in that quote-unquote gentleman's war, how did it go?
They would meet on a
man
plane.
On a man.
And then what happened?
And
they'd start shooting.
Well, they didn't. Well, not then, but I mean, they used sometimes
swords
they do.
Whatever they had, okay. And how long did the battle go on?
Until somebody was dead.
Roughly.
Till
how long did
a day?
Yeah.
This is not going to go on weeks, months, and years. It's not like war is these days. It goes on, and the battle was all over. All right, what do? You pick where you're going to fight. You agree on it, right? We'll meet you on this field of battle on this time, on this day. Right?
Sure.
Remember like in the old westerns? High noon? Same idea.
Okay.
And it's not, we think, exactly.
At the beginning.
So the idea was you pick your battlefield, you agree on it, you meet there, and you battle to the death. Okay? The only reason Armageddon seems so strange to us is we're used to thinking of modern warfare, which goes on and on and on. Look how long we've been fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq and all these places. You know, it wasn't like that. It was, here's the battle, and every battle is the last battle. Until the next last battle, right? What did they say about World War I? What was it called? The War to End All Wars. Until what? World War II, which was the War to End All Wars. All right, so the idea is always, this is what I'm trying to demonstrate for you, is the way that John wrote this is ways that we all understand it. We just, sometimes our modern, we've forgotten certain things that are sort of universal, but they're not universal. What was everybody staying awake for last Saturday night? All over the country, all over the world.
Meteorite shower?
No, I don't know. What? Last Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I missed out on
eclipse.
None of us did, because we don't want to shout the $100 for pay-per-view. What did everybody else say?
The fight.
See, you just say the fight.
I didn't.
You don't say a fight. You say the fight.
I didn't watch it.
The fight of what do they call it?
That was the
century.
Fight of the century.
Because there's only 20 years, 15 years in this century.
But see, that's our mentality. It's going to be, this is the one that's going to settle everything. Right? Okay. So that's the idea of Armageddon.
All
right. This river Euphrates drying up is very easy. Why does it dry up? What does it say?
Well, they poured that water in there.
You pour out the bowl on the water, and what happens?
It dried up.
For what reason?
So that the way of the kings could come from the east.
Okay. So how could they come? What does that do? What is drying up the river?
They allowed them to cross.
Okay. So in other words, there was some protection. This now takes away the protection, right? When it's dried up, you can march right across it, right? What did they used to do in World War II, in the Korean War? What were they always doing? Bridge of the River Kwai. What was that about?
Blown up the
bridge. Without the bridge, they cannot.
Okay. So the river's protection.
Yeah.
Now, the angel is pouring out the bowl on the river. It's drying up. The protection is gone.
So they're not helping people. But they're helping the kings from the east. Yes?
Yeah, that's the question. Is who are these kings of the east?
Those three kings that brought Jesus stuff.
Don't guess. Don't guess.
That's what I guess, but I don't.
Like, we're not supposed to.
I know we're supposed to know the answer.
You do know it.
The Parthians.
Who is causing all of this?
God.
Right. So somehow, if God is causing this, no matter who those kings are, they're coming from Him.
And the east is the direction that connected with Jesus.
That's it. Why do we face our churches east? Because that's where Jesus comes from, the rising sun. Okay, and how do we know that? Verse 15. Lo, I am coming like a thief. Who's coming?
Jesus.
All right. Blessed is he who is awake, keeping his garments, they may not go naked and be seen exposed.
Father, is there something, some symbology or something related to frogs? Because there were the frogs in the Old Testament and then the three unclean spirits like frogs. I mean, from the biology of frogs, I know that frogs are nasty. Mm-hmm. But that's
it. Frogs. The legs, yeah.
Frog legs.
I've never had any.
You've never?
Mm-hmm.
They're really...
I never had snails.
Tastes like chicken, right?
Snails. In Greece, everybody ate snails. I never had.
It tastes like chicken?
Yes.
You could probably say it tastes like chicken.
If it's deep fried, I guess, in the South, everything tastes like chicken.
Doesn't matter. Even
here comes our biting.
Even insects will...
All right, here's a text about the coming of the judges.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
David.
Yeah.
Does he know?
Is he a doctor?
Yeah, I told him.
Is he a physician?
Yeah, he just has
what's his
the work
name?
Oh.
Is that door open?
Capley.
Oh.
Was it locked?
Yeah, he just walked all the way around.
He came home. I
had
that door
unlocked.
Fourth one.
Open it,
and we're all sitting here and we're
too fast. He's too fast for us.
Hey, we forgot to lock this one.
Fourth one's a charm, right?
We forgot to lock it.
That door was unlocked over there.
Because I came through the
door. You talked too much today. You sound.
I guess I did.
He's like a
horse. Good to see you, David.
Yeah. Good to be.
So we're about to read a quote about, we're in chapter 16, verse 12, about the sixth bowl being poured and the river Euphrates drying up. The water is dried up to prepare the way for the coming king from the east, that is, for Christ, concerning whom we read, behold, a man whose name is East. And that's a reference back to Zechariah. For him who is coming, a way is prepared so that he might judge. Moreover, in the river, the name of the river, Euphrates, as in the sea, the rivers, the springs of water, the sun, and the throne of the beast, over all of which the angel is said to have poured out their bowls, those peoples who are impure are indicated. And its waters were made dry, it says. This means that these people will possess nothing which is green or living within themselves, for what they have will be fit for the fire of the approaching judgment. So all this judgment is happening under the aegis of God. Remember, that's where all the bulls came from.
Yeah. It also talks about the spirit, the spirits of demons performing signs, going after the kings of the earth. So it's like they go. Is it like they go out to the kings or the powerful people and trick them, and then
the other key.
People follow them.
If they're performing signs, it's to deceive. So mm-hmm. It's all about deception. Whatever signs they're seeing are tricks. And what we're going to see here is that only one has real power. Everybody else is fake power. It's all been conjured up. All right. Any more questions on the sixth bowl?
I'm sorry. It was a little anticlimactic, Father.
We're not done yet.
Okay.
We got the seventh.
This almost.
We got the seventh.
Okay, so just to summarize, we have the kings, and then we have all those bad people. They're gathered in one place called Armageddon.
Oh, we didn't talk about Armageddon. Thank you. Let's go back to Armageddon. Lots of different interpretations of Armageddon. I'll read a couple of them to you. This is Andrew of Caesarea. Armageddon is translated as cutting, or being thoroughly cut up. And so we should think that the nations gathered and led for battle there by the devil will be slaughtered, since the devil rejoices in human blood. Now this is an idea we haven't talked much about, but it's a good point to talk about it now.
Okay, I get that.
Who's the beast?
The devil.
The devil. Now, outside of Revelation, what do we know about the devil? Actually, even
tempted,
inside Revelation.
Tempted.
Where did he begin?
He was an
in
angel.
The Garden of Eden.
He was an angel.
Fallen angel.
Okay,
fallen.
Right. And he took and he made war in heaven. This was back in chapter, I think, 10 or 11. All right. Mm-hmm. And he led a third of the angels in battle. Mm-hmm. And who led God's army?
Michael.
Who?
Michael. Saint Michael. The great archangel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
when
Where's this at?
Chapter, is it 10?
I missed 10, 11, and 12.
You missed a couple.
Okay.
You miss it, you miss big.
Oh, you're talking. It
was, where was it? Maybe it was earlier. Was it 9?
You mean in Revelations it refers
yes.
to that? I don't remember.
I don't either. Mighty angel with the little book. That's it. Chapter 10.
Let's go back. I think it was...
Mighty angel, little book.
Yeah, but it never mentioned the word Michael.
There was war in heaven.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Maybe it was back to 4. Maybe it was 12. Okay. Maybe it was 12. Oh, yes, it was 12. Here we go.
Oh,
chapter 12.
Really?
7.
Well, 7? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, the war with Michael.
What in his book?
But see, this is another one of those time things, because...
Where are you at? Chapter 12.
It goes from 7. The woman, her child, and the dragon, the mm-hmm. child, and then it says, and war broke out in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But
so what's that telling you? That this is not necessarily all chronological.
Because
right.
if the child, if the woman is related to,
just clear my throat.
Okay.
So war rose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. The angels were thrown down with him. So let's go back to that description. He's called the devil, which means what?
Satan.
Diabolos.
Diabolos.
The divider.
What the number is? 12?
Verse 9. 12 verse 9.
Okay, so the Greek.
Yeah, actually go to the Greek, George. Help us on this.
9.
Go to chapter 12 verse 9.
Okay.
This is where we're going to need you.
11. 12:9. It's talking about the great dragon.
Okay.
The ancient serpent.
Yeah.
That is called Diabolos.
Which means what? What does that mean, Diabolos?
Try to change you to something else.
Divider?
Diabolos.
Via, through?
Volos.
Volos. What's Volos? To stand is how I understand it.
Frivolous.
To stand. So you're standing between, you're dividing. You're separating. So the demons, the devil in this case, he divides. And what's this after the Diabolos?
Actually, the Diabolos they call in Greek Satanas, Satan.
Okay, also. Right.
Yeah.
But the devil and Satan. What does the name Satan mean?
Accuser.
Accuser. Accuser. What's the accuser? What kind of accuser is he? And the key to this, if you think back to the devil,
accuse God
or Satan
for
in the book of Job.
The accuser of man.
Right, okay.
Accuses what?
But does he look evil in the book of Job? He's not. Where is he located? Where does he work?
He was in heaven.
In the world.
In the court.
In the court.
Okay, so I just spent Monday in court. I was there to see one of the inmates. So I sat in the courtroom for 3 hours watching. If you've ever, you go do this. If you have time to go spend an afternoon, go watch court. It's fascinating.
I'm sure he wants. That's enough for me.
Fascinating.
Did anybody say hi to you?
Yeah, one person did.
Yeah.
So what happens is you've got the judge up there and he's doing his thing, and you have the prosecuting attorney and you have the defense attorney. And they're going back and forth, they're talking, they're wheeling and dealing, and okay. The Satanas, the Satan, is the prosecuting attorney. So one by one they get up there, and at one point the judge wanted to send this person to prison for like 10 years. And the judge says, come on, he's drunk. Well, yes, but he's got all your prior convictions. Right, what are they? Drunkenness. Because he's a drunk, he's going to drink, and you want to send him away? She says, well, he's convicted so many times. So what's her job? To accuse the defendant in front of the judge. Okay.
Is that related to when it talks about in different things about the demons having a list of, like sometimes in the Synaxarium, mm-hmm. having a list of your sins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, we.
All right, and what's the next title for him? He's the devil, the Satan.
The one who deceives, the deceiver.
Okay, he's the deceiver.
Uplana.
Okay. In other words, and going back to where we were in chapter
16.
All right. This beast, at this point, has already been beaten, and he knows it. How do we know that he knows it? Back from that chapter we were in.
He got thrown out of heaven.
He's thrown out of heaven. To earth, okay. Together with others, too.
Right. So he's already been beaten. So what's his job at this point? Is he trying to win back? Is he going to win back heaven?
No, he's going to win his many.
That's exactly it. That's exactly right.
Who threw him to earth?
When they defeated him. Michael defeated him.
Well, he shouldn't have thrown him to earth. He should have just...
Why here? Why to earth?
To Mars, maybe.
Because heaven is glory.
Uh-huh. Why not hell?
There's nobody to deceive him.
Well, he is in hell, too, isn't he?
Okay. Well, he's going to be, not yet.
It was created for the devil. Hell was created for the devil.
Okay, in other words, it's not the time yet for that. So, we're in the time before the judgment. The judgment is coming. All of Revelation tells you the judgment is coming. Now we're seeing it unfold. Okay? And what's the devil doing? He's lying, he's dividing, and he's accusing.
And he's deceiving.
Why?
To gain more people.
Right. For what purpose?
For his kingdom or whatever.
Well, he's already been beaten. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You said it already. Why is he doing it?
To take as many with him as he can.
To take as many with him as he can. In other words, he's beaten, and as many as he can take down with him, he wants to take down with him because he knows he's already been beaten.
He loves us. He wants us to go with him.
Yeah. It's not quite love. Okay? So all this is deception. What's that?
Depends on you define love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all this is deception, And he's using anybody he can get to follow him, he's using them to try to get back at God who already beat him.
When in here, when it says the beast and the dragon, isn't that referring to two different, isn't the beast, or is that both Satan?
So we heard that there was the dragon, which was the devil. And then we heard there was a beast
his servant.
Who served him.
Yeah.
Right. And then a second beast, or a prophet that did the bidding of the first beast.
But so then when we say beast, a lot of times that's used interchangeably for the devil.
Right.
So it's two different things, two different meanings.
Well, in the sense that the empire at that point was carrying out the bidding of the devil in killing the Christians.
Is that kind of like a analogy? I mean, like we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's the beast. You like it when I make these good ones.
Ding, 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 yes. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. What's the role of the Father? The Father sends both his Son, begets his Son, and sends his Spirit.
Right.
Okay. So both the Son and the Spirit come from the Father.
Yeah.
Both the beast and the prophet are going to come from the devil.
Which is, so he's still trying to be like God.
And what is the second beast? Well, he's trying to carry out
the first beast,
like the Spirit is here doing the work of Christ. What did Christ tell us? I'm going to send you another comforter. So yeah, it's the mockery. It's the desecration of what's holy. By mockery. By acting like God. Okay, let's do this last bowl and then we'll finish up here.
What, 16?
17 through 21.
Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great.
Now, I had an image of what this reminded me of, and none of the commentators, at least in this book, had the same understanding. What does it sound like to you? In the first...
The plagues upon Egypt.
Yeah, the plagues, that's one. We heard about that.
That everything is same. There was no mountains.
What does the seven...
When Christ
what does
died
the,
on
that's
the cross.
It. That's what it made me think of.
Okay? What I didn't hear what.
When Christ died on the cross, what did he say at the end?
It is finished.
It is done. Yeah. Okay? Oh. Where does this voice coming out of? Verse 17.
The temple of heaven.
And specifically where?
From the throne.
From the throne. Where the Lamb is with
that
the
is
sitting
true.
With the Lamb, saying, "It is done." Flashes of lightning, voices, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, just like at the crucifixion.
And it splits the great city into three parts. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so? That's Jerusalem.
Lots of interesting interpretations, and they're all different.
Because there's three religions.
That's what one had. It didn't say the real religions. It said one interpretation was. The Christians, the Jews, and the Samaritans, who at the time that Andrew Caesar is writing, were three groups that lived in it. Okay? Another interpreter had dividing the city into the Gentiles, the heretics, and the false... I'm sorry, the Gentiles, the heretics, and the false Christians, and the Catholic Church.
And the what church?
The Catholic, the universe, not the Roman Catholic, the universal church. So in other words, what's happening here? People are being placed or being shown to where they really belong. That's the thing. Although there's different interpretations of what the three parts are, everybody's being shown for who they really are at this point. Because what's judgment? What happens in a judgment?
Well, A decision is made.
Right.
A final decision.
Okay, so I sat there and I watched one after the other. They either went to prison, they got parole, or probation, or they were released. So a judgment happened and they get put into